Attention, attention, this is History Lost in Time.
And welcome to episode 70 of the History Lost in Time podcast. This podcast is available in German and English and can be found on YouTube, Spotify, Podcast.de, Blue Sky and Instagram. There's also a music-based partner project on YouTube called HLITAI Music.
The topic of this episode.
I haven't been able to fulfill many listener requests yet, so I am all the more pleased to be able to address the wish of a listener who wanted more information about the early Prussian fleet. This episode is about Prince Adalbert of Prussia, who laid the foundations for the Prussian-German fleet, upon which Kaiser Wilhelm II and Admiral Tirpitz were later able to build.
Political agenda and background.
None.
The sources that were used.
For this episode, I used a mix of online sources. Germany as a state has only existed since 1871. The Holy Roman Empire of the German nation cannot be considered a state in the strict sense, and this entity did not have its own navy. The German states along the coasts were generally too small to field large fleets. There was, of course, the Hanseatic League, which was a significant trading empire in the High Middle Ages and the early modern period. But even the Hanseatic League did not possess a high sea war fleet. While some European powers such as England, the Netherlands, France, Spain, Portugal, and Italy were naval powers and built global trade networks, the German states remained European land powers. At sea, apart from a few adventurous individuals, they were primarily active close to the coast. This changed for a while after the Thirty Years' War in Prussia. Under the Great Elector, the so-called Brandenburg Navy was founded and several colonies were established, including Groß Friedrichsburg in West Africa. The Great Elector had recognized the importance of maritime trade and therefore invested in the fleet. Compared internationally, the fleet remained small, but it was a start. Under his descendant, the first Prussian king, Friedrich I, the naval and colonial project was continued, but the king pursued it only out of respect for his father. He himself had no great interest in it, which is why the fleet and colonies slowly declined. Under the soldier king, Friedrich Wilhelm I, the remaining fleet along with the colonies were dismantled in the early 18th century. The soldier king wanted an army. He had no use for the navy. Friedrich II, known as Friedrich der Große, which means the Great, founded trading companies, but did not invest in a navy. I will go into more detail about this at some point, but for now this should explain the context in which Prince Adalbert grew up. Prince Adalbert, well, that's what he was called. His full name was actually Heinrich Wilhelm Adalbert of Prussia. But hey, there were already so many Friedrichs and Wilhelms among the Hohenzollerns that in this case, thankfully, a different nickname was chosen. Prince Adalbert was the son of Prince Wilhelm, the youngest brother of the Prussian king Friedrich Wilhelm III. He was born in Berlin in October 1811. As he belonged to a cadet branch of the House of Hohenzollern, his chances of inheriting the throne were virtually non-existent. Like many other Hohenzollern princes without a chance of succession, he therefore joined the military. He initially served in the Prussian army's artillery. However, he developed an early interest in both geography and seafaring, interests considered highly eccentric and unusual among the Prussian elite at the time. How did this artilleryman end up in the navy? From 1826 to 42, between the ages of 15 and 31, Adalbert traveled extensively around the world, visiting, among other places, the Netherlands, Great Britain, Russia, Turkey, Greece, and Brazil. He quickly learned the importance of a fleet for a modern trading and industrial nation. He came to the realization that Prussia would never become a great power without a formidable navy. His trip to Brazil in particular was formative. In the 1830s and 1840s, he wrote memoranda on the subject of the Prussian fleet. It's worth noting that at that time Prussia had been a purely land-based power for over 100 years. The glorious naval era was a distant memory, some 150 years in the past. His memoranda, therefore, fell on deaf ears. The fleet had no support under Friedrich Wilhelm III and his son Friedrich Wilhelm IV. Prussia practically had no fleet at the time and relied on its allies Denmark, the Netherlands, and Great Britain in times of war. It possessed little more than a few armed cutters and the training ship Amazone. Even for coastal defense, this was barely sufficient. Let's take a brief, detailed look at the SMS Amazone. She was a three-masted corvette built in Stettin in 1842-43. She displaced 390 tons, was approximately 33.5 meters long and just under 9 meters wide. She had a maximum speed of 11 knots and a crew of 6 officers and 139 men. She was armed with 12 18-pounder cannons, each with a caliber of around 130 millimeters. They fired iron balls weighing approximately 8.5 kilograms. Returning to Prince Adalbert, who remained committed to naval matters, he was fascinated by the new steamship technology and pursued the goal of building the most modern fleet possible using this propulsion technology so that the lack of quantity could be compensated as quickly as possible with quality. When the First Schleswig War broke out during the Revolution of 1848, the Danish Navy easily blockaded Prussian ports, bringing Prussian maritime trade to a standstill. The Prussian army watched frustrated and powerless as the Danish fleet more or less dominated the seas and faced little challenge. Prussia's allies, the Netherlands and Great Britain, remained neutral in the war, so Prussia received no reinforcements. This humiliation sparked a wave of naval enthusiasm throughout Germany, leading to the establishment of an imperial navy. Prince Adalbert briefly served the National Assembly as head of the Naval Technical Commission until he was forced to resign from this post in 1849 by order of Friedrich Wilhelm IV. Adalbert, who was still serving in the Prussian artillery at the time, then focused on building a Prussian navy. His goal was a navy capable of active defense and protecting maritime trade. Adalbert essentially had to start from scratch. There were hardly any officers, virtually no infrastructure, and only a handful of ships. Adalbert insisted that steam gunboats rather than old-fashioned sailing ships be built, even though these modern vessels were more expensive. He also brought personnel to the navy and professionalized training. In the 1850s, Prussia purchased the area around Wilhelmshaven from the Grand Duchy of Oldenburg in order to establish a naval base in what was then a virtually empty territory. Prince Adalbert had been involved in this purchase. He could even be described as the driving force behind it. With the newly founded Wilhelmshaven, which however was not officially named as such until 1869, Prussia would possess an ice-free port and would no longer be confined by the Baltic Sea. In 1854, he finally transferred from the artillery to the navy and became an admiral and commander-in-chief. Adalbert proved to be someone who was passionate about the navy and who both inspired and demanded this enthusiasm from others. With King Friedrich Wilhelm IV, he was able to appeal to his romantic side and inspire him with the world renown and national greatness that the fleet would bring. This was much more difficult with his successor, Wilhelm I. As fleet commander, Adalbert demanded absolute discipline and was hard on himself and others. He ordered drills to be conducted in all weather conditions and personally supervised them. He demanded the utmost personal commitment from his officers. Anyone who joined the navy merely to have served as a nobleman but otherwise wanted an easy life ran into trouble. He was tough but fair and almost fatherly towards the enlisted men. He paid close attention to training and provisions, but also expected maximum dedication and seamanship. He was also personally very courageous, one might even say borderline reckless. He demonstrated this during a voyage abroad in 1856. On this voyage, Adalbert commanded the new steam corvette SMS Danzig, among other things, along the Rif coast in Morocco. Perhaps a few words about the SMS Danzig first. This ship was based on English plans, but was built in Danzig at the insistence of Prince Adalbert. It was the first warship steamer built in Prussia. The keel was laid in 1850, and the ship was ready for service in 1853. It was a paddle steamer, but could also travel under full sail. The ship displaced 1,920 tons, was approximately 76 meters long and 16.5 meters wide. The steam engine produced 400 horsepower, at least that's what some sources say. Others cite figures of 800 to 1200 horsepower. However, all sources agree that the ship could reach a maximum speed of 11.6 knots. The crew numbered 153 men, and the armament consisted of 10 68-pounder cannons. The ship served in the Prussian Navy until 1862 and was then sold to Japan, where it served until 1869 and burned up during the Japanese Civil War of 1868-69. Returning to Prince Adalbert's voyage abroad on the aforementioned SMS Danzig. The actual destination was the Black Sea, but Adalbert made a detour to the Moroccan Rif coast as a Prussian sailing ship, the Flora, had been shelled, attacked and robbed by locals there in 1852. This time, the locals also fired on the boats that the Danzig had launched. Adalbert subsequently decided to launch a punitive expedition, which he led personally. However, he significantly underestimated the strength of the locals. They far outnumbered the Prussians and were equipped with modern rifles. 68 men, including the prince, landed under the covering fire of the Danzig. The 68-pounder guns, with a caliber of 20.62 centimeters, more than 8 inches, comparable to that of a heavy cruiser, facilitated the landing. Of course, guns from the 1850s are not comparable to those of the 1940s, but the 68-pounders were the heaviest standard-issue guns in the Navy at the time, firing massive 30 kilograms or 66-pound iron balls. Such a thing always hurts. It was no wonder the British called these weapons smashers. However, their range was extremely limited at 3,000 meters. And their accuracy were rather low, so the landing party quickly moved beyond the area where the Danzig could provide fire support. An initial attack against the Moroccans was successful. However, the locals received increasing reinforcements and put the Prussians under considerable pressure. When encirclement was imminent and the morale of the troops began to waver, Adalbert ordered a retreat and led it himself, saber drawn. Of the 68 Prussians, 7 were killed and 22 wounded, including the prince himself, who suffered a gunshot wound to the thigh. On board, however, he insisted that the most seriously wounded be treated first. He refused any special treatment. After the battle, he personally cared for the widows and orphans of the fallen, supplementing their survivors' pensions from his private fortune. This skirmish, which went down in history as the Battle of Tres Forcas, did not exactly inspire enthusiasm in the Prussian King Friedrich Wilhelm IV. He disapproved of the prince's unauthorized actions. Objectively speaking, the operation had indeed been a failure. However, the dashing conduct of the Prussian sailors and the prince himself, who had fought for the honor of the flag and shed blood, was received extremely positively by the public and within the Navy. The fighting prince, or rather fighting admiral, Adalbert, had thus gained personal renown in an era when princes and kings were more likely to be found at the map table. Adalbert's naval plans were considered too ambitious in Prussia, however, and he was gradually stripped of his power. In 1861, the Navy came under the control of the War Ministry, which was dominated by the Army. Prince Adalbert, however, did not give up and remained active in the Navy. In the Second Schleswig War of 1864, he commanded the Baltic Squadron. However, there were no significant battles. Once again, the Danes dominated the seas, although naval warfare played only a minor role in this war. After the Prussian army stormed the Dybbol fortifications, Denmark was defeated. From 1867, Adalbert served as commander-in-chief of the Navy of the North German Confederation. At this time, the Navy was finally equipped with new formidable ironclads. More on this in my episodes 2 and 7. Adalbert also served in the Navy during the Franco-Prussian War of 1870-71. Naval warfare played no significant role in this conflict. However, the Prussian-German Navy did succeed in preventing a French naval blockade. Furthermore, Adalbert was instrumental in enshrining the Imperial Navy in the German Constitution in 1871. In 1871, Adalbert was forced to retire from active service in the Navy. He died of liver disease in June 73. During his lifetime, he had earned numerous decorations, including the Order of the Black Eagle, the Royal House Order of Hohenzollern, the Pour le Mérite, and the Iron Cross First Class. General Albrecht von Stosch, who had served as his adjutant for a time, took over command of the Imperial Navy from him in 1871. Adalbert's legacy thus continued. This was also evident in the fact that several ships, including a cruiser frigate and a large cruiser, were named after him. To this day, squares, streets, and monuments in Wilhelmshaven, Kiel, and Mürwik are dedicated to him or named after him.
A few finishing words.
Prince Adalbert was a man of transition. He began as an artilleryman in a land force and died as an admiral of an empire. He bought the land for Wilhelmshaven, explored the Amazon, and shed his blood off the coast of Africa, all for the dream of the black and white Prussian flag flying the world's oceans. He was no desk-bound admiral, but someone who wanted to be at the heart of the action. He was also a strategist who laid the foundations for the later expansion of the fleet. Domestically, he skillfully navigated between the Prussian landed gentry, who were reluctant to spend money on ships, and the merchants, who demanded protection for their trade. Adalbert was the one who planted the seafaring gene in the Hohenzollern DNA. Without his groundwork, Kaiser Wilhelm II would likely never have been able to launch his massive naval expansion program decades later. Adalbert, however, was more serious and technically knowledgeable than his later great nephew.
Thank you. This was History Lost in Time.